Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus, the babe of Bethlehem. Amen. Let us pray as we consider the word of God this holy night. We bow our heads, fold our hands, and pray. Gracious Lord, glory to you in the highest. We know that you've come to bring peace, the forgiveness of sins, eternal salvation to all. We pray now as we continue this night to hear your word would accomplish in us what you desire. Give us faith, strengthen our faith, draw us close to you, open our ears, our minds, our hearts now to gladly receive your holy word. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Well, First Lutheran family and friends, Merry Christmas. I wish all of you a very merry, happy, joyful, amazing, marvelous, wonderful, peaceful, Merry Christmas. Now let's be clear. Short and simple. We want to get back to singing, don't we? But hearing the word of God too. Short and simple. Let's be reminded tonight that we have a Merry Christmas. We have joy, and we truly have a festive spirit because the baby had a scary Christmas. And he had a, what I would call a carry Christmas. And thirdly, he had what I would call a tarry Christmas. We don't wish Jesus a Merry Christmas. I don't think it was really much of a Merry Christmas for Jesus. We have a Merry Christmas. Because first of all, we're reminded he had quite a scary Christmas. Now, we hear that Christmas gospel, Luke 2, and we find it charming and cute and wonderful. We've heard it so many years, we smile, and rightly so, it's wonderful. But let's be honest, let's be blunt. It's scary as hell for Jesus. And I mean it. Merry for us. We have the merriment of heaven because he was scared to hell and to death for us. That's why he came. Number one, a trip from Nazareth in Galilee down to Bethlehem, south of Jerusalem. A 70, 80 mile trip. Mary's 9 months pregnant. Any of you ladies want to make that trip? You're told by your doctor, you don't travel when you're near birth. Don't travel, don't go anywhere. And she didn't have a minivan. She didn't have a Honda. She didn't have a Toyota. There's no plane, there's no train. Nothing but maybe a donkey or a beast, or maybe she walked some and Joseph with her. This is bad. This is scary. Caesar Augustus, how dare you order us? They must have been thinking. Then it gets worse, scarier. When they're in Bethlehem, they make it. Oh, praise be to God. We have the saddest verse in the whole Christmas gospel. It is the saddest verse of all. There was no room for them in the inn. It's even worse. No room in the inn. The Son of God, no room. Maybe there's no room in your life for him either. And then we read he's wrapped in swaddling clothes. And lying where? Three times in the text. Lying in a manger? God comes, we treat him like some kind of an animal. You go out there with the animals. Good luck. As I said, this is scary as hell for Jesus. The forces of evil, the devil, evil mankind against him already. Rejection, unwanted. We have great foreshadowing in the story. Gotta get to the end of the story. He comes to die. And his death is already there in his birth. It's great foreshadowing. The trip from Galilee down to Bethlehem near Jerusalem foreshadows a trip he will make 33 years later. When he goes from Galilee down to Jerusalem, entering Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, betrayed on Monday, Thursday, to die on Good Friday. That trip he takes again years later. And being ordered by Caesar Augustus, by the Roman government, an order, you must go to your hometown. He's already following the orders of the Roman government. Willingly, of course, he's God. This foreshadows the order of Pontius Pilate. Crucify him! Crucify him! I wash my hands, but kill him. He willingly does that for us. God allows himself to be ordered around and murdered by government, by people. No room in the inn foreshadows no room in Jerusalem. No room in the world for this Jesus. Maybe no room in your life right now, except maybe tonight, I guess. But no room. No room among the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the chief priests. Take him now, get rid of him. Treat him like an animal. Murder him. Get rid of him. We don't want him. All foreshadowing. Wrapped in swaddling clothes. Foreshadowing how he'll be wrapped in rags again when he dies, put into a tomb. Lying on the wood of a manger. Foreshadowing when he'll lie on the wood of a cross and die for the sins of the world. He has a scary Christmas, friends, that you have a Merry Christmas. Merriment doesn't come from Santa Claus or from Rudolph or from gifts under the tree. Merriment, true merriment and joy comes from the Savior and what he's done. I hope you believe that and know that. And that's the Christmas in your heart. He is rejected that we be righteous and received into paradise. He is unwanted that we be welcomed by God into heaven. He is wrapped in swaddling clothes that we be wrapped in the clothing of salvation and holy baptism. He lies in a manger that we would rise and live in a mansion. Remember what he's done. What's he mean to you? Is there room in your life for the Savior? He knocks. I read an article, 10 things you can do to better your life. There's always 10, 15, 5 things to do to better your life. And I so happened to come across this article, I wanted to look at it. What's the new advice on how I can better my life? Well, the number one thing on the list, this is amazing advice. Number one on the list, how you can better your life in 2014. Folks, learn to smile. Let's see you smile. You're going to have a better 2014. Now, I know a lot of us are Germans, we don't smile a whole lot, but just try. Smile and people will smile back at you and you'll feel happy because they'll smile back. This is the best advice the world can give you. There is a smile that I pray would make you happy. May you know that the Father smiles on you. God's not mad at you. God holds nothing against you. For he held everything against his Son. He frowned on his Son that he would smile on you. He rejected his Son that he would redeem you. He smiles on you. He's at peace with you. He's reconciled to you. Jesus died for your sins. They're taken away. He doesn't count anything against you. Now that gives merriment and joy. The smile of God. Secondly, we have a Merry Christmas because he had what I would call a Carrie Christmas. Already as a little baby, what, 8 pounds, 20 inches, whatever. As a little baby, he's already carrying the hopes and the dreams, the plans of God himself, of heaven himself. He has the whole burden of the heavenly plan laid on him. All expectations of heaven laid on him. All the hopes of the Father to save the world laid on him. We read in Isaiah, the government shall be on his shoulders. I don't interpret that simply as human government. I take that better as the government of heaven. The plan of heaven, the purpose of heaven, God the Father's purpose is all laid on his shoulders on the baby. You must carry it out, Jesus. You're the only one that can do it. The prophets couldn't do it. The priests couldn't do it. King David couldn't do it. Moses couldn't do it. Adam couldn't do it. Elijah couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. You're the one, little baby. You're the Savior, Christ the Lord. It all resides on your shoulders. You must do it. And this is why the multitude of angels break forth out of heaven. Heaven can't control itself on Christmas. The heavenly hosts, they burst out. And look at what they say. Peace on earth. The Savior Christ the Lord is born unto you. All the dreams of the angels and heaven to be one with the world, all eyes on that baby. He's got a big load to carry. A major purpose. You have a heavenly host, a multitude of angels. You know, a host, as many of you probably know, literally means an army. This is a heavenly army. An army of angels is the meaning. You have an army of angels. And yet they don't fight. There's no swords. They don't call on the American military to help them. None of that. What's this army of angels do? They sing. And they declare victory. Peace on earth. Well, who's going to fight? Who's going to take away sin? Who's going to conquer death? Who's going to defeat the devil and crush his head? Who's going to do this, that we live forever and be with God? Who can do it? It's the baby in the manger. He's the one that counts. He's carrying the government of heaven, the plan of God. You know, when I was a little boy, I was given a job at Christmas Eve. You know what my job was. Besides, try to get a little sleep, Polly. My job was to lay out cookies and milk for Santa Claus. And what was the second half of my job? Not to eat the cookies and the milk laid out for Santa Claus. That was hard for me. How about for you? What a big job. Lay out the cookies and milk and try to get some sleep before we open up presents, please. What a job this baby has. Laid on his shoulders that night. And we know 33 years later he would complete it. For at Calvary's cross in his dying hour, what would he shout? Fill in the blank. It is finished. Come on, a little louder. It is finished. Tonight's the beginning. Just the beginning, folks. Just the beginning. A little baby. It ends Good Friday and Easter. The cry, it is finished. He does the work. We'll reconcile peace with God. He's done the will of the Father. And then last of all, may we have a Merry Christmas, because he has a tarry Christmas. To tarry, T-A-R-R-Y, means to linger, to delay. You've probably heard the expression, don't tarry, don't be late, don't linger, don't delay. And the little baby lies in a manger for quite a long time. And this baby has grown up now and died and risen, and he hasn't come back for a long time to judge. It's been 2,000 years since he's come back. He's tarrying, he's lingering, he's delaying. What's he waiting for? Why is he delayed? I'll tell you why. He's waiting for you. He wants all to repent. So he has not returned yet. He's lingering, tarrying, that you, your family, your friends would come know him and would repent and be baptized and participate in his life. Ever hearing his holy word, and not just Christmas Eve. Ever longing for his body and blood that's conquered death, that's the medicine of immortality, called communion that we partake of. Longing for you, friend, to love him and know him, to trust in him. You know, that Christmas Eve, all of heaven rejoices. And in great contrast, how many people rejoice? A few shepherds. And we all chuckle, oh, the shepherds come. And it is a wonderful thing indeed. But my question, where's all the other people? This is God himself in the flesh. Where's all the people? The shepherds tell the town of Bethlehem. And we read where they wonder what had happened. You just wonder what happened? Will you go out and see him, or are you too lazy? You wonder and go back to bed and watch ESPN. Wondering, curious, amazed. Only the shepherds come and worship and bow down. Says something about our world. And so he lies there. Is any more going to come? Oh, I'll wait a year or two for the wise men to come. And I guess I have Joseph and Mary. And I'll call a few disciples that will follow. And a few others will follow. Heaven rejoices. Where's all the earth? He would ask. Time to get off the fence and be a Christian. He's waiting. Participate in the life of this Jesus. You know, I read an article, it's a pastor after all, reasons why people don't go to church. Maybe that's you. We're so glad you're here. Hope you come more or go to some church more if you don't. Reasons why people don't go to church. 12%. The church is too clicky. True? There's clicks? So? Is my question. You don't go to work. I'm sure there's cliques there too, so you don't go to work either. You stay home from work because there's cliques. 17%, there's hypocrites there. You're looking at a big fat one right here. So, I'm not your Savior. I just preach the word and give you the sacraments. Hypocrites everywhere. Do you not participate with them either? You stay away from them too. By the way, we need another one called you to join the church too. So come on in. We could use another hypocrite. Just like me and everybody else that's here. 19%, I'm too busy. If you're too busy, that's sad. For this is the Son of God who gave his life for you. I'm just going to give you one reason, not three or four, one good reason, great reason, glorious reason to come. And his name is Jesus. He's not in a stable. He's not in a cave in Bethlehem. He's in the church. He's wrapped in pages of scripture now that we unveil to you in teaching. He lies in the bread and wine of communion. That's his manger now for you to come and eat. He's right here, Jesus. There are sinners here. There's conflict. There's hypocrites galore. There's cliques. I say the question, so what? Jesus is here. Will all that really keep you from Jesus? He tarries. He lingers, waiting. Again, friends, family, Merry Christmas! Have a Merry Christmas, because he had a scary Christmas, a carry Christmas, and he is tarrying now to come again, waiting for you. Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!